Doug, I don't have any audio. Can you call? Doug?
Despite the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me. Then came this morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory.
Seated. I love that part in the song. The end is written. Good morning. Happy Easter. My name is Liv. We are so glad that you are here to celebrate with us this Sunday. Nice to see some new and smiling faces. If you fill out a physical green card, there should be some in the back of the pews. You can also fill out our contact form on the website from the homepage, but you can place that in the wooden box at the back of the sanctuary doors. And this is also where you can place any offerings that you brought with you. We are grateful for those who continue to give online and via text. So Genesis is supported solely by your faithful and generous giving and cannot function without your financial support. So when you give to Genesis, you're funding a multiple of causes. There's, of course, the warming center that we host for a couple weeks in the winter that keeps our friends who are experiencing homelessness safe, warm, and fed. You're funding the weekend community cafe to provide food to those in need. And surely your giving makes sure that our staff gets paid and the heating bill for this big building gets paid. So this church that we call home, this building where we worship, if you call Genesis your church home, or even just a safe space on a Sunday morning, we ask that you consider giving towards our vision of creating spaces of belonging, helping individuals identify and develop our calling, their calling, and taking action for the good of others. So today's service is very special. We are celebrating 6 baptisms. So each person is going to be, yes, that's worthy of an applause, especially since we have this beautiful baptismal font that we're able to use, and you will see it. If you haven't seen it before, it's just very cool to experience along with our family and friends in this community. So each person will be immersed in water. So there's a lot of meanings behind this action, but at the core, it's a picture of being immersed in our belovedness as dearly loved children of God. So before we see them baptized, we're going to get to hear via video from each person why they have chosen to be baptized today. So Glenn, again, we're glad that you're here to celebrate with them together and witness God's goodness.
I can't think of a better way to acknowledge those people and the step and what Jesus has done for us on this Easter morning than to sing this next song. I invite you to stand as we sing In Christ Alone. Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. Love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on the cross as Jesus died, our debt to God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live.
What's that? No, I'll be good with this. I've really got to go to the bathroom.
I've had to the whole time in that water, man. This is a dangerous day.
Some of you wonder what my job is here. This is what the associate pastor does. I don't know how to do a French.
No, I'm not that exquisite. Woo! Was that not awesome? I mean, thank you, Nate. The tie, the mourning, the baptisms, as we get to witness it today. So here we go. The text for this morning, as we recount the stories that have been left for us about the resurrection of Jesus. And this is in Luke 24, 1 to 12. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in. They didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back to the tomb, from the tomb, to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to them. So they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. This is the first account of the resurrection of Jesus. And what is so beautiful were the disciples that stayed the closest. The women, they went to care for Jesus, but he wasn't there. Why wasn't Jesus there? Because he's not dead, but alive. And the angels showed up, and they say this interesting word, and so take note here, all of my sisters and mothers and daughters in the room, what the first account said. Then they remembered. The angel said to them, "Remember what he told you in Galilee? Jesus told these disciples what was going to happen. And those disciples were the women there. He told them ahead of time, taking them aside with his disciples, saying, 'Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to be crucified. But then I will rise again.'" And he's telling the women, the angels are saying, "Do you remember? He told you this beforehand." Because they were his disciples and followers, witnesses, and the first to rush forward and to tell the news of life. That's right, he's risen. And they remembered that Jesus had told them, and they rushed back. This is the first 5K. Right here. They ran it. They rushed when they got the news. He is no longer dead. They were the first evangelists telling all the closest to Jesus that he was not dead. And yet it was still nonsense. There always comes a time for all of us when the things of God sound like nonsense, look like nonsense, until it doesn't. Until all of a sudden it seems to make sense of this beautiful picture of the love of God. And that's what you saw from those six people who got baptized. where they're saying, not everything makes sense, but what makes sense is Jesus for me. The love of Jesus, the goodness of Jesus, the salvation of Jesus, the life of Jesus. And so they run toward that hope, that love meets them. That love is going to meet them right where they are today, and love is going to meet them right where they are tomorrow. And at that moment, the men couldn't receive it, not yet. But however, Peter jumps up and runs to the tomb, the second 5K. And he stoops in. Even after his biggest failures, even after his worst case scenarios has happened, as he's denied Jesus, left Jesus, scattered Jesus, could he run toward hope that love would meet him today, on that day, and run toward it? Will he keep looking for God in his midst? And will we, in our worst case, in our worst moments, longing for the good news of hope to break in that says, oh, maybe all is not lost, and you run toward that hope? When Jesus was telling his disciples about what would happen to him, he let them know beforehand. He said, hey, this is what's going to happen. The good shepherd, which is me, is going to be killed, and all of the sheep are going to scatter. They're going to run. But he reminds them of this. He says, but after I've been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. See, that's what hope is, that God's ahead of us, that love is ahead of us, and it's going to meet us there. Wherever we go, no matter if we're running or walking or crawling, that God is ahead and will meet us even in our darkest moments, our darkest nights, our biggest failures, our most confusing days. God is ahead of us. I will go ahead of you. That's what hope is, that love is always ahead of us. That's what we hope for. So what are we guaranteed to meet tomorrow because Jesus has risen from the dead? Love. Because love is always ahead of us. God is always in our future. Our tomorrow and today are always filled with God and love, which Jesus was the exact demonstration of what love looks like all through his life. The shepherd was killed, the sheep scattered, but in their scattering, Jesus says again, I am going to go ahead of you. I'll meet you there in Galilee after I've been raised from the dead. In John 10, when Jesus is talking about the good shepherd, that he is the good shepherd, a good shepherd who's going to lay down his life, who will get in the way of the wolves. When the wolves attack, that this shepherd will be in the way so that the sheep will not be devoured. And Jesus says, yeah, I'm this good shepherd. And in John 10, he says this, the Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and to also take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. I give my life. No one takes it. When we think about the crucifixion, we think about Jesus being killed. Jesus is saying, yes, it was brutal, it was murder, but let me help you frame it. It was me giving. This is what self-giving love looks like. At the most extreme, it will be this: I will voluntarily give up my life to sinful hands, but I'll take it up again because I have the authority to do the same. And in the same way that Jesus has the authority to forgive our sins, to take up our lives, and to hold us from all eternity, and to overcome the evil one. Self-giving love is what Jesus is displaying, and this always births new life. Death is not the final word. And so whatever our realities are, there will come a moment when we might come close to the end or to our end. And our death is not a death, but it is a birth as Jesus takes a hold of us into new life, ushering us into that life. One of the final accounts of Jesus' resurrection is found here in John 21. And in this story, they're back in Galilee where Jesus told them to go. The disciples are there, where many of them have grown up, and they're back at a lake, the Sea of Galilee, and they're fishing. And they're like, oh, what are we going to do tonight? And Peter's like, I'm going fishing. I don't know if they were waiting for Jesus to show up, and they thought maybe if they went there on the water that Jesus would walk out on the water again. Who knows if they were just bored, but they decided to go fishing all night long. And so they do. And the disciples said, hey, we'll come too. And so the seven of them went out into a boat and they caught nothing all night. They were good fishermen. But they caught nothing. It was a dark night. But at dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows or children, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore, swimming towards hope. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. Bring some of the fish you just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. They had gone all night and caught nothing. That's a hard night. Waiting. Going someplace for a purpose and everything failing. It was a dark night. Have you had any of those nights where you had every intent of something else happening? Maybe a good night's sleep and it did not come. Maybe it was a night of productivity and it did not come. Maybe it was a night that was meant to be filled with hope, but yet it was filled with mourning and sorrow. Have you had those dark nights where nothing came to be? Have you had those dark nights when all hell had broke loose within your family or a family member, a child, a spouse, a mom or dad, and you're waiting for the news to come? Good news is maybe they're in hospital. Have you had those dark nights when anxiety triggers so much that you begin to shake and panic takes over your body and you're just hoping for the shaking to stop and for day to break? I've had those nights. Scary nights where you're not quite sure what's happening and it feels like death. Have you had the nights that feel like death? Yeah. But we're reminded, as Jesus is risen from the dead, that the dawn is coming and Jesus is already there. He's already there. Knowing we've caught nothing, knowing that we're hungry and tired and weary and wet, and he's there ahead of us. I'll go ahead of you there. And when Jesus is ahead of there, what does he have ready? He's got a fire ready, a charcoal fire to warm him. And not only that, he's been baking bread. Derek Crawford made our bread for this morning for communion. Derek, what time did you start making this bread? I think at 6 a.m. And he's got fish cooking. He was there at night, ahead of them, waiting for them. Jesus, God in flesh, not God in disguise, not God hidden, but God fully seen. And Jesus is there. And when he shows up for his disciples in the darks of night, in the dark of night, what does he do? He feeds them breakfast. He feeds them breakfast. So common. One theologian says it's pedestrian. It's so normal. He's raised from the dead, but yet he's like, let me warm you and feed you. I'm with you and I'm here. Eat. Come to my table. I've got bread and fish for you. I'm ahead of you to feed you in this life for what you need. After the long night, Jesus makes them breakfast. It's dawn. The fire is going. The fish and the bread are ready. Come and eat. Love is ahead of you. Jesus is here. And so we're reminded this morning, whether or not when you hear the story of Jesus and his resurrection, whether or not you can comprehend that or understand it, it is okay. It may sound like nonsense, but the reality is that love is ahead of us. Today and tomorrow, and as our eyes are open to see it, we will see it as God. Not in disguise, but the revelation of who God is in Jesus. Jesus is with us in the depths, in the heights, and with us in the everyday, ordinary things. And ahead of us today. It's dawn. The fire is going. Fish and bread are ready. Come and eat. Love is ahead of you. Jesus is here. All right, Marty and Dan, I've recruited them. They're going to come for us. So, man, it's Easter, and we got to see this beautiful participation of baptism where you get to witness in this symbol, which is so deep, but it's the reality of saying, man, God loves us with everything God has. We're dunked into that love, into that foundation. It's called a sacrament. Another sacrament is when we take bread and juice, and we eat it in remembrance of the love of God. The body is broken for us. This is the ongoing sacrament that reminds us that love is ahead of us. Wherever we go and whatever we do, and we eat, the breakfast is made, the food of life is prepared, and the invitation to eat is made to all of us. To come and eat. In a way, Jesus said, the fire's ready, I've made breakfast, come and eat. This is what you need. After the long night, I'm alive and I'm with you, and I will be with you to the end of the age. Love is ahead of you. And so this morning, we want to invite you to eat. So, not only, so we've got some fresh bread baked this morning by Derek, we've got some cranberry grape juice because it was on sale, and it's better for our digestive tract, and we have some smoked fish. Because it was ready. Now, the fish is cold, but it is smoked. And we want to invite you to the table. The fire's been set. Breakfast is ready. And Jesus is saying, I'm ahead of you. I'm ahead of you. Come and taste of my love. Come and receive my welcome to my little campfire. And to what I've already provided for you when you aren't able to catch your own. And so we invite you, church, to come and eat and partake. So what we've got here, we got a table set up here in the front on this left. We've got a table set up here on the right, my right. I know my lefts and rights, not really. And on my other side is another table. We've also got two other tables set up in the back, each with elements upon them. And so here's what we want to invite you to do. We're going to invite you to come and receive, to come to the table and to eat. We're going to ask you to step onto the sides, come down the sides, and then go back up the middle. And so we're going to have you go up the sides. And so if you're closest to the back, feel free to go there in the back. If you're closest here to the front, feel free to go up here to the front, over here on this side or in the back corner. I've got two communion trays set up on the far side of the juice. We'll just make sure that juice is set up on the other. And there should be enough for all. Jesus, multiply what has been prepared. So we got four stations. Go on the sides. We're going to worship, but be reminded that the meal has been prepared for you. Breakfast is set. The dawn has come, and Jesus is alive. And his love will meet you this morning and tomorrow. And so we say, let's welcome Jesus. Let's eat. And so when he did this with his disciples, he said, this body is my body broken for you. And they tore it and they took a piece. And so we invite you to come and tear off a piece of this challah bread. We also have some gluten crackers here. We want everyone to be able to take and eat. Fully included. And if you want to grab a piece of fish, take it and eat it as well. Reminding you that Jesus is providing for us. There's little cups, and we invite you to take the little cup of juice as well and drink. Jesus said that the juice was a reminder of his blood shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. And so may you know that you are welcomed, loved, and embraced. And so, Father, we give you praise for your gifts, for your body, for your blood, for the breakfast that you prepare for us. Thank you, God, that you're ahead of us, that your love is ahead of us, and that love will meet us in our future. Love will meet us this morning after long nights or even long mornings. You are alive, and you are among the living. And so may your love be known, and may we receive it and say yes to it today, Lord. And receive your welcome and welcome you as we eat of these normal, everyday things that are prepared out of your love and the overflow of your life. So we eat, God, and we receive your hope and your life. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love the sign, so in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. His love is higher than every height that we will know. It will descend into every depth, even to the pits of hell, into the grave, and it will reach wider than every one of us. Isn't that true? Amen. So we invite you, come and receive. You can take your time whenever you're ready. Come to receive. Heather and them are going to lead us in response and worship as we sing together. So let's receive. Amen.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone.
Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. He shall return in robes of white. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong. Do not faint, you won't grow weary.
We have one more song to sing together before we dismiss you to just kind of spread Easter joy throughout wherever your next steps take you. So I hope that you will stand if you want, sit if you want, praise how you want. But this is Forever We Sing Hallelujah. I hope you have a little bit of singing left in you.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you
here.
Today we have celebrated the glorious mystery of Christ's death and resurrection. Let us go forth rejoicing in the knowledge that Jesus is alive. Alleluia. Happy Easter, friends.
It's just the agility. Yeah, the good stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
You should say like,
you want. Just set aside like an hour of each.
You unmuted him in the Zoom?
Yeah. Does that make a difference? What I had to do is we couldn't
hear audio from the room. So,
okay.
So we need to unmute all my from here. And then, resolve them that I
was muted. So they're hearing it from either this computer or that computer.
Try mute yourself.
Supposed to unmute.